it feels a little bit strange to stand here bringing my talk on Shmini Atzeret, given the fact that Rabbi has already said most of what I had in my list of things to do. But anyway, if you hear this message twice, it's only because, you know, it's the truth, and you've heard it from two witnesses, and therefore you can believe what you hear. So the Torah readings for today, festive gathering, we had the Deuteronomy 34, the last chapter, and we also were reading from Genesis or Bereshit, chapter 1, 1 to 16. The Torah came from Yehoshua, again the first chapter of the book, and the Messianic writings came from the Besorah, the good news of Yohanan and John, chapter 8, verses 12 to 18. And as you've heard it so many times today, here we are, the final celebration, the eighth day of assembly. When you start looking into this day, as I did as I was preparing for this talk, it's quite interesting because actually there isn't that much written about this particular day. It's quite mysterious. It doesn't have a name. It's called the Eighth Day of Assembly. What we hear is this little commandment just kind of added to the text when you go to Leviticus 23:36, when it says, on the eighth day, okay, you have to have a holy convocation and bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. It is a day of public assembly. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. And that's pretty much it of what we have about this particular day. We are meant to do not do any work. We meet, and at the temple times, there was an offering which was brought on this particular day. It is an odd festival because we have this period of rejoicing, the Sukkot celebrations for 7 days of rejoicing, dwelling in a sukkah, rejoicing with the four species, and generally having a wonderful time remembering the being set free and seeing the produce which we gather, because it is a harvest festival as well. Obviously it was one of the festivals where we were commanded to go and show ourselves before Adonai in the temple, so it was really a period of activity. Wonderful day, wonderful time, and then when all this is done, all the celebrations are over, there is one more day, one special day when you come and meet with God. A festival with no name, somehow attached to Sukkot, but not quite there. And this is an interesting one. We talked about it already. I think I mentioned it in my commentary. I was talking to you on Shabbat. There is that connection to Passover, as Rabbi mentioned as well. There are similarities. The nature of the celebration, what it points to. And it's quite interesting because this festival gets connected to Sukkot in our mind, is connected in the same way as we have the Hag HaMatzot, which are connected to Pesach, kind of together. Or indeed, another reference which is being made is you have Passover and you have Shavuot. And yes, there are two different festivals, but actually they are often regarded as two bookends of a festive period. They are separate, but together. And so it's the same with Shmini Atzeret. It's a separate festival in its own right, it's recognized as such, and yet it is considered an end holiday of Sukkot. together and apart. They carry their individual message that in some ways has been hidden away through the history to us. Now, you might have heard another name of another festival which is celebrated as this day, that is Simchat Torah. It is an interesting history. Simchat Torah is one of fairly young festivals. It's only 1,000 years old, okay? it's a festival which started to develop and be celebrated in the early Middle Ages. We have it when this time of the year began to be associated with a completion of the yearly cycle of the Torah, exactly as we've done it today. You see, until then, really, it was customary in Jewish communities to read the Torah on a three-yearly cycle. So actually the readings would be quite different from what we have. Over a period of time, the custom developed mainly within the Babylonian or Iraqi Jewish communities to read the Torah on an annual cycle, and at the end of it, celebrate the completion and starting of the new cycle. Makes sense. And the time of this completion came to be on this time of the year. And so often, when you hear about the last day of Sukkot, actually it refers to Simchat Torah and not Shmini Atzeret. Actually, that's not quite right. It's Shmini Atzeret, which is the day we celebrate today. Simchat Torah, as wonderful as it is not a specifically biblical holiday. And of course we rejoice in the blessing that we receive from God through the guidance of the Torah, and also the promise that the Torah has for us. It points to Messiah, that he will come and redeem us. We rejoice, therefore, in the cycle of completion of the Torah and fresh start that it brings, as we started reading the Book of Bereshit today. The Torah we were given is our guide, brings us the promise of Messiah, the good news that redemption is possible. And it's in its cyclical nature, it also tells us that there is hope of new beginning, hope of fresh start, hope of getting things right the next time that we start. But let's go back to Shmini Atzeret. A biblical day, holiday. Unfortunately, the records and the commentaries that there are about this particular day don't really tell us very much. There is silence when it comes to interpretation and the meaning of this special day, the special festival. Some references which are done are focusing on the end of the harvest festival, the harvest finished, and now we are starting to pray for rain. So there are prayers that actually are recorded to go back to the temple period that were focusing on that kind of season of rain. Rain was a blessing for the land. It again takes us back to Passover and the link of Passover, because actually with the festival of first fruits, Yom HaBikurim, which we celebrate during the Passover season, is the time when you start praying for you. And there is that link of God's provision of rain and dew for the land to flourish. Because when the land will flourish, it means that people will be blessed with food. The provision of food, a blessing that comes from Adonai. But maybe there is a little bit more to this day, and indeed there is, because you've already heard it from Rabbi, he tells you. And when I was doing my reading, I came on to Yochanan 8, chapter 8, which is really interesting, actually, in many ways, because by my reading, it refers to this particular day. The events, the discussion just recorded there for us, is happening on Shmini Atzeret. You have to go back. It talks about Sukkot, so Yeshua goes to Jerusalem during Sukkot, and there are all kinds of interactions happening in the temple when he has discussions with people. And on the last day of Sukkot, that's actually quoted in chapter 7, there is that moment. It goes to, if you go to chapter 7, verse 37, when it says, on the last day, that was yesterday, okay, the great day of the feast, Rosh Hashanah Haba, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Who believes in me, as the Torah has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That was happening 2,000 years ago, yesterday. Okay. And this was a wonderful time in the temple. There's lots of activities happening. We have records that there were water libation ceremonies happening, and water was poured all over the altar. And I know that Rabbi had talks on this. We talked about it in the past. The temple was this hive of activity. And in the middle of this, Yeshua is there teaching, and it creates a bit of a stir, I would say. Because people were asking, who is he? Surely he is the prophet. He is the Messiah. And others were saying, well, can the Messiah come from the Galilee? What the scriptures is about this? And there was this ferment of discussion and all this. And it didn't make the authorities very happy. Activities take place, and then it says everyone went to his own house. This evening, Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives, and the next day is Shmini Atzeret. And the discussion which we read today is quite interesting, because actually, what was the topic? If you read the discussion in chapter 8, when Yeshua says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness and have the light of life. And then it goes on into this kind of, well, the idea, a discussion of the nature, the testimony of Yeshua's testimony and judgment, and the fact that there are two witnesses to confirm. And when he says, you judge, but if I were to judge, my judgment would be true. And it's an interesting discussion, because actually, as I was reading on Shmini Atzeret, there is an idea that actually today is the day when the heavenly books are closed and sealed for them for the next year. So we've been through the Yom Kippur, and we pray for forgiveness and receive God's forgiveness. And there is still a period of time when there is time to put things right in our lives. There is time to put things correct before the Lord. And it's today this is the final day when that opportunity, the window of opportunity is closed and the new year starts, the new next season, next period of time. And we have this record of discussion happening on this day about this testimony. And in many ways, when you read through it, it's quite extraordinary discussion between Yeshua and the scholars who were there. It feels like there were two different conversations people were having. And people were not listening to what Yeshua is telling them. And what is the link? And I think the key to it is really in verse 12 when we read, when Yeshua says, I'm the light of the world. And that made me think, I've done a little bit of digging. We have a record of the text in Greek, although it was spoken in Hebrew at the time. But even this text gives us a little bit of hint and insight why this is important, what is Yeshua talking about. Because, going back to Greek, when he says, I am the light of the world, what he's actually saying, I'm the source of light for all mankind. The world, the word world in Greek is cosmos, which actually means something quite different. It means in English it's confusing because we understand it as the universe, but actually it means mankind, humanity. What Yeshua is saying, I am the source of light for all humanity. It's such a radical message. It had to blow people's mind because it's not just for our nation. This is a message which is universal. It appeals to everyone, applies to everyone. Profound message of salvation to the whole humanity. His work and calling supersedes the borders, covers everyone, reaches to every human heart. And while his earthly ministry took place in the land of Israel, the impact it has is universal. It draws to the universal message of salvation and redemption, that the Messiah will come. And the effect will be that humanity will be one, worshiping God in unity. And so it is that Shemini Atzeret does hint to this future time when humanity will be one and will worship Adonai as one. Last time I stood here, pardon me. Losing my voice over this. I mentioned the understanding that we are living at a period of time which is kind of fading away, that time while awaiting the Messiah. And what Shemini Atzeret is about is the new era, the new period of time with Messiah as our King. It refers to that moment of time. It will happen. There's only one sacrifice which was brought on this day in the temple. One sacrifice for all humanity. Yeah. And so, as we celebrate today, let us be joyful and remember that this fulfillment of this festival is yet to come. But it's a festival which tells us about the universal message of salvation for everyone. Every single human being can reach out and say, Lord, save me. Lord, save us. Amen.